Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Barber Union.
Barber Union.
Yes, sir. I'm one of your hosts, William Alfred, and my man over here, you know it.
Sly.
Introduce yourself. Let them know. Yeah, Sly Handy.
Know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have a couple guests today on the show. We have Mike Grasso. Grasso Barbering.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on,
how we
Mike?
Feeling?
And we also have Mandy to my right over here.
Mandy Fresh.
Yes, sir. Mandy.
You know me?
Yes,
sir. Extravagant.
Yes, sir. Extravagant in the building. You know, we got some history. We got some history here. But before I even get into that, you know, let's talk about episode 2, man. We're here.
Mm.
Episode 1 was good. That was the introduction.
It was.
But
it
episode was. 2 is here.
It's here.
So now, you know, we're going to kind of like loosen up a little bit, let me flex the fitted a little bit, you know. Slide you over there with your Steelers stuff on.
Oh, you already know Steelers Nation.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So you're a Pittsburgh fan, okay.
All right.
So you know, the funny thing is that I try to be transparent as much as possible. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think we wrestle with as barbers is being punctual, being on time. And, you know, just a quick story. The funny thing is, like, last night, me and the wife, we get our date night in on, we're in the house chilling, you know, little man asleep. So we're like, yo, let's pull it out. We pull out the popcorn, the ice cream cones, mm-hmm. The soda and everything. And for me, junk food is like liquor for me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. I could mess around, get a hangover from just like indulging in that stuff too much. But I'm like, who cares? You know, we're going in, we're watching a movie and everything. And then the thing is, like, if I eat that stuff, I don't sleep the same.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how it is as we get older, and my 46 years old talking self. You know, as we get older, like, you know, the systems don't, you get a traffic jam with that stuff in the body. You know, it don't digest the same. So, you know, with that being said, I woke up this morning, you know, I'm like, oh, let me get some extra time in, you know, let me get some extra sleep in. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, that rolls over into what? We have a podcast episode. We have to be here on time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Next thing you know, it's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
Everything happens, everything, you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, shoot, the time is getting away from me. Now I'm rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm rushing to get here. I'm going down, I'm following the GPS. The GPS isn't showing, you know, the time that I desired. Mm-hmm. It's saying like, hey, look, you're going to be here a couple minutes late. Now I'm on the phone with Joe. Shout out to Joe.
Right.
I'm on the phone with Joe. We're running late. You know, then I hit up Sly. Then I'm like, oh, shoot, I got to hit up Grasso. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but you see the effect from, you know, you gotta kind of like pan yourself out and look at like what's like, I don't know, kind of like just even with life in general, if you know something's coming up, you got to pace yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's all part of responsibility. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is because like, I want to see what y'all think about this. Like if we're late, like say if we're late to our, you know, we have an appointment with a client and we're late. But then, like, you have a client, like, does that rub off on the client? Like, let the client know, like, hey, it's okay if I show up late. You know, would a client look at you being late and the client is like, oh, okay, well, since he's late, it's all right for me to be late. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, like I said, it's a domino effect. What if you have appointments back to back? And now next thing you know, all your appointments are overlapping. You know, do y'all think that's like,
it's a bad habit, man.
It's a bad habit.
You know, it can mess your whole day up, running 5 minutes behind.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unprofessional at the end of the day.
Unprofessional.
You know? But,
right,
you know,
right.
If you're on time, you're late.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's always good to be on time.
Yes.
You know, that extra 10 minutes, set up your stuff, you know, get your day going.
Right.
But, you know, if you're always late, the client's not going to look at you.
And I'll tell you something else, too. When you're on point all the time, the client respect you more because people, you know, they got stuff to do too. You know what I mean? You play with their time all the time. So
the client respects you more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. They will never go nowhere.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
No matter you give them a good cut, regular cut, mm-hmm. they're always going to be there for you because you're always on point. He's responsible. Yep. Every time I do an appointment with him, he's always here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they lay, sometimes I don't even really get mad. You know what I mean? I just have to hurry up and let them know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, because we're human. Things happen.
Things happen. Yes.
Things come up, you know, but I have a couple clients, you know, I'm not going to name no names, you know, but, you know, where they're like consistently, you know, showing up like a couple minutes late. And I even said something, so I was like, yo, man, like, it's $1 a minute.
Yeah,
when you're late, it's $1 a minute. You know, I got charged on top of that price. But like I said, like, what if you have that next client that's like, oh, shoot, my appointment was at 10:30, and I timed everything out to where I have to be at another place. Oh, I can't keep going to him. And that's one of the complaints that I get from new customers that come to me. They're like, they left their previous barber because their barber wouldn't show up on time, show up whenever you want, you know. And then on top of that, not only show up late, but they, you know, and I've seen this happen. I worked in other barbershops where, yo, hold on, I got you. Let me bust the grub real quick.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Been around plenty of those, man.
You know, or look at this. I'm a mess with some things right here.
Mm-hmm.
Or show up in the shop. Right, and there's stuff, hair on the floor from the night before.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The clipper's still dirty, not even clean. So you come in, and that client had an appointment with you, and they like, hold on, let me clean my stuff up real quick. So the client's just sitting there, like tapping his foot, like just
delaying like the whole day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, with all that being said, I think I feel like even in, I think the best thing to do. This is just for me. I put it like this. This is for me. I feel like the best thing to do is practice being on time just in your regular lives outside the barbershop, and they may drip over, you know, into the barbershop arena, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So not even also that, like, you know, especially when you had a barbershop setting, when other clients see you come a little late and then be consistent or whatever, the other clients that are walking in, they may be new. They watching the whole thing, you know, they watching the whole thing go down.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they go, okay, these guys are like irresponsible. They're not on time. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They don't blame the one person. They hit the whole shop.
The whole shop.
They say all the barbers is like this.
Right. You know, from one.
Yeah, right. One guy could be on break. Another guy could be waiting on his client that's like 5 minutes late or whatever. And people are quick to judge. They go in there and they go, wait a minute. This guy, I'm waiting for this guy 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Then he want to go take a break, come back. You know, timing is money.
Yes, sir.
Time is money.
Yes, sir. And that's the sad thing about it. Like, people going to judge regardless. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to judge. But the thing is, like, if we could lessen that, you know, that's for the reputation of our shops, then, you know, that means a lot. You know, and especially in today's world, you look at somebody wrong, they leave a review about you. You know,
power of the internet.
Yeah.
Smile at you while they doing it.
Right. Yeah, typing right.
And look, and it's crazy too when clients come to the shop, they sit down waiting. They look, they're watching every barber. You know what I mean? That's what we have to be careful too because they can.
Right.
Talk. Oh, he don't clean this. Yeah. Oh, he don't do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They smell.
They taking notes. You know they taking mental notes.
Look, like example, when I started with Sly, it was a client sitting down watching us, and he realized the four barbers was left-handed. Oh, you're off left-handed. You know what I mean? They both paying attention to that.
Wow. Yeah. Just being left-handed.
Yeah, yes.
They realized we was left-handed.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
So if they realize that, my all the stuff they realize and looking and watching and
studying
going on. Yes.
Up and down.
Studying,
yeah.
Yes.
Even things like they looking at clothes you wearing.
Yeah.
Your clothes.
Yeah.
You know how your fit is and all that. You know. So it's like that's another thing of just like making sure you're well groomed. You can't come in there like you know crust all in your face and all that.
Yeah.
And you know your appearance means a lot.
Yes,
you know
that's an important aspect. Man.
Yeah.
The clientele you want to attract could simply be just how you're dressed, how you present yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm gonna tell you like an old friend told me. Shout out to Big Van. You look
Big
like
Van.
Money, you make money.
That's good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You look like money, you make money.
Absolutely.
All right. So before we continue, let's break it up and introduce these guys, our guests, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Grasso, we'll start with you. Tell the world about yourself, man.
My name's Mike Grasso.
Okay.
I've been cutting hair for about 12, 13 years now. I currently work for myself in a suite in Runnymede, Great Point Salon Suites, and that goes as Grasso Barbering Suite. And yeah, I've been in the game, like I said, about 12 years now. Started out in the basement like everybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. I worked with Sly years ago, mm-hmm. you know. Will, Mr. Will, yeah. You're always going to be Mr. Will to me.
Wow. But,
Mr. Will was my barber teacher.
Oh, man.
And those were the days, man, barber school.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that, we got a lot to talk about. On
oh,
that.
So much. Times have changed, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
For sure.
So on my right, we have Mandy.
Fresh.
How you doing, Mandy?
Mandy Fresh.
I've been in the game for 5 years. I started 2018. I remember I started in school in Pittman. That's how I met you. Will. Mm. You was my teacher, remember?
Yeah.
I didn't know none of the barbers. I remember you told me to go to HD one time. You said, you can't go to Australia. They're going to kill you there.
Oh, shit.
I remember like it was yesterday.
Oh,
yeah, I was saying some stuff. I can't remember that.
But being honest, the Australia was the best thing that ever happened to me. I learned a lot there. You know what I mean? Professionally, cunning, they helped me a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, now I'm with Sly. You know what I mean? And I'm learning from Sly, too.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff, too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Absolutely.
And try to get better. Try to be bosses, you know?
Yeah.
And keep it a professional.
You know what I mean? You said how long you been cutting for?
I've been cutting like for 10, 12 years.
10, 12 years.
Professionally, when I went to the barber shop professionally, mm-hmm. five.
Okay, yes. Okay. I'm ping-ponging back and forth here. Yeah. Grasso, what initially... Mike, I keep calling you Grasso. Hey, so you said like
just like everybody else, man. That's all right.
What initially got you into barbering? What you know? I'm always curious about this with everybody. Like what gave you that first desire? Like I want to cut hair. I want to be a barber. Where did it begin?
So around the corner from my house at the time, there was a barber shop, and I worked at a pizza place next door, actually. So I would always go in that barber shop, man, and something about it, like. You walk into the barbershop, you smell that spritz and that talc powder and, you know, just something about being in the barbershop always interested me.
Awesome.
And so I started getting my hair cut by this guy, Mike. And long story short, me and Sly actually ended up working with Mike down the road.
Oh, yeah,
and I believe he was one of your students, actually.
Oh, really?
At Empire or wherever. I forget. You told me that a long time ago.
Okay.
But anyway, man, this guy, Mike, was... a ridiculously good barber.
Yeah,
you know, sharp, you know, just
did he
really...
do hair too?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He was a beast. Yeah,
Mike,
yeah.
You know,
was good.
Mike was a beast.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm still cool with Mike to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I can kind of say this about him, but you know, Mike had his good days and some of his bad days.
Mike, we're talking about you.
You know, shout out to Mike, man, because you know he's doing great now.
Right.
And but you know, it kind of just hit me like Mike was such a good barber on mm-hmm. his good days, man.
Yes,
like
sir.
Still one of the best
yes.
I've yeah. ever seen, to be mm-hmm. honest with you. And it just clicked with me. I was like, yo, if I could learn how to cut like this guy, but just, you know, have some better customer service skills and, you know,
mm-hmm.
be on time and, you know, just more, you know, customer friendly, you
right.
know, I'm like, you know, there's potential to make some money in this, mm-hmm. you know? And,
yes,
but yes. I was always into the, just the trade, man. Like, you know, it's such an art to me. It's such a cool thing. You know, I still wake up and it's like, you know, I don't feel like I'm going to work, man.
Mm.
I feel like I'm doing something I enjoy. And, you know, mm-hmm. I appreciate all of it. You know, the wisdom, the conversation, you know,
yeah.
making someone feel good. And that's just,
yeah.
you know, I always thought it was such a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So what do you feel like your strengths and or let's start off with this. What do you think? Because like I said, it's all about transparency, mm-hmm. you know, because we're going to talk about stuff that barbers don't talk about or is taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody want to come out like they're the star athlete.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to admit like, yo, we got some weak spots. You know what I mean?
For sure.
What do you think in your journey, you know, it was like some of your struggles in the journey?
Oh, man.
Just even from the early days, what do you think was your toughest, like one of your toughest obstacles?
I would say with me, you know, I feel like I always had the discipline of, you know, showing up on time and, you know, it was really just learning the craft and, you know, little mistakes, you know, and really watching every barber cut and learning techniques, you know, and as some of you guys know, I'm really into clippers, like and what they do and, you know, stuff like that. You know, the barbering game is really elevated in that aspect. But, you know, I remember, man, a bald fade used to kill me, you know, when I first started. cutting hair, and I could never get that bald line out. You know, that, I could, man, I'd be watching YouTube for hours, man. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, man, I'm doing everything the barber's doing in the video. I'm watching Sly, I'm watching everybody else cut hair, right? But I cannot get this bald line out. And you know, little did I know it was because, you know, the only step that I was doing wrong was I'm trying to take out a skin line. You know, I'm using Andis Masters at the time with a taper blade that, you know, the blade's this thick. And, you know, that's not going to take out a trimmer line. No. So, you know, learning your tools as you go, like, okay, I needed a thinner blade for this hair texture. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm such an advocate about, like, what I'm using. Because, you know, there's a saying, like, you know, it's not the clipper, it's the barber, right. Which is half true.
That's good. I never heard that, but that's good.
Which is true. I can get the job done with, you know, one clipper, one trimmer. You know, we're experienced and, you know, I've been doing it for years now. But, you know, your clippers are going to help you. Okay. If they're not performing right, you know, if you have a dull blade, if you have, a trimmer that's not hitting, like, you know, it's going to make your life harder. And that's why, you know, it's really important the tools you're using nowadays. So I would just say understanding your, you know, your tools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm going to pull out a throwback moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I had to give a demonstration. Before I got hired at Robert Fiance, they was like, come in and give a demonstration, you know? So I came in and gave a demonstration, and I remember, and I was like nervous, because I was just like, man, I'm going to all these barbers looking at me like, what you gonna show us, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So I'm standing in front of everybody, and I'm like, and I didn't bring a model. Somebody had to step up to be a model.
Up cutting Karan.
And shout out to Karan, man, because everybody could have played me and been like, nah, man, I don't know this dude. You know what I mean? So he came out and I gave a demonstration. And I remember Mike and Frank. You remember Frank?
Oh, I remember Frank.
Mike and Frank was the dudes out of that squad because, you know, module was like new students coming in like every month. So, But I remember these two because initially these two stepped to me, you know what I mean? And they was just like question after question. And I thought I was just going to give my demonstration and be out. And these two just kept questioning. And I just was like, that made me, when they was doing that made me like, yo, I really want to proceed with this teaching thing, man. You know what I mean? I really want to, because they just kept asking questions. Now, once I got into it, you know, of course, you had your obstacles like, yo, man, this is Joker, man. Like, different students and all that. But that remnant will make you keep going. Mm-hmm. So that's, and then I remember, Mike, you stuck with me so much, like, throughout just your eagerness. For cutting hair.
Yeah, oh man, I asked so many questions. Yeah. Not just to you, to many other barbers.
This dude was you know, if he wasn't on YouTube, he was questioning, he was in your face.
I was eager to learn, man.
I had this guy come back and give a demonstration. Now this is the funny part.
This is hilarious.
So you know where I would go. So he gave a demonstration, he was killing it. You know, in the structure of this classroom, I was at a different school by then. The structure of this classroom was different. It was more wide, and I think it was more students in there, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so it was like, you was more like, definitely like on a stage, more of a stage on this time. And Grass was getting it. He was going through the clippers, switching the guards up, and he put this famous 1.5 blade on, I mean 1.5 guard. And
the white 1.5 clip, man.
The white 1.5.
That's the clip. Just imagine.
That thing is dangerous.
You know, that thing is a dangerous
man. And I don't know what happened, but it's like it happened in slow motion and flicked off like, no.
See ya.
You know why he was in the middle of the fade. And he got the, you know what I mean? But one thing I got to say about Mike, this dude cleaned it up real good. Cleaned it up. And I was like, now that's barbering right there. Mm-hmm. When you could go in, even if you make a mistake and you could go in there and just make it like make it as though it never happened.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a barber right there.
That
that's what the students need to pay attention to right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what barbering is, because let's keep it transparent. Like, we're human.
Yep,
everybody, you know, and you got some cats that will coat themselves with pride and be like, nah, I never make a mistake. I never, stop lying.
Mm-hmm.
You just had it.
Stop lying, you know. But I like the way how Grasso, and it's stuff like that stains in my head, that where it's like, Man, look, you can show me all the Instagram videos, all these superstar barbers, all you want.
Yep.
But it's stuff like that that stands out to me. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, shout out to Grasso on that.
Yeah, it ended up being a great demonstration, actually.
Right.
So if this happens, you know, this is what you got to do.
Right.
Granted, a low fade turned into a high fade real quick. But luckily, my client didn't care.
That's
realistic,
though.
It happens. We chipping and fixing the same time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's how you know you're a good barber.
Right.
You fix mistakes, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that little, like yesterday, that happened to us too, right? Mm-hmm. It was having somebody who just learning in the barbershop with us. And we tell him it's going to take time. Me and Sly been years cutting, and we still make mistakes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not perfect, you know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
So that's what they have to learn through their journey. You know what I mean? You still want to keep making mistakes. It's a growth.
You know what I mean?
No matter how many years you have, you're still growing. You're still learning.
Mm-hmm. I always say student for life.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Student for life. You're always learning. Always. You know, the minute that where you get to that point where, like, okay, where I learned everything, that means you're too good to be here. You're too good to be here on Earth. You want some angelic stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if you're that good where you don't need to learn nothing else, and that's it, you're too extraterrestrial or whatever.
You're out of this world.
To be here, yeah.
And sometimes you guys, like, take your time with all that, especially if you're new and stuff like that. You know, some of these guys be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be not – watch, in 2 months, I'm going to be the master.
Mm-hmm.
2 months, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like
2 years.
I'm like, what did I do wrong? Yeah. Like, it took me like 5-10 years to be on that certain level. But that it's about that eye adjustment and like Russell said, his tools. You know what I'm saying? I remember when we used to be in Extravagant Glassboro, and I could be cutting, and I turn around, I felt somebody's shoulder behind me, and I look behind me, and he's got his clipper and my clipper, and he's like, what's the difference? And he's studying the clipper blade to say, how's it getting close? I never forget that.
Mm.
And he had the Wall Seniors, the
OG gray Wall Seniors.
The gray ones.
Man.
Wow.
I remember it. And he was like,
what, the ones with the cord?
The ones with the cord.
With the three screws, you know what I mean?
The Wine Boys.
You know what I mean?
And he was like, how is he balling? What is he getting? Like, it's not close enough. And he's looking, right? You know, after a while and some years and stuff, he became the clipper master. Do you know he came to my barbershop and sold me his other pair of boots. I was like, this is my store. And the clipper, and you know, the boots, they got the tight blades, the real close and real tight.
Real thin.
And they're real thin. And that's why, matter of fact, he was the one that actually put me on the Magic Clip.
A long time ago.
What, like switching it in and out?
So you know the Magic Clip has like real, the teeth are real tiny at the bottom?
Yeah.
See, I was still using the other type of, you know, regular fade blades and stuff like that. But he was always studying how to get the fades like real, like bald, where you just didn't have to use no trimmer. You could just go in with the clipper and he was modifying that, right?
Yeah.
So then he comes to the shop when I was working at Barbero's and we were all talking about it and he was talking about this clipper blade, and he was like, yo, you order these joints from Jen. He said, you can get the Magic Blade and put it on the seniors. And I was like, for real? Like, I don't know about that.
I'm up here listening
and
now.
I did it. I deemed him clipper master.
Yeah.
I did it, and it was like, zoom, zoom, zoom.
I ain't going front.
So all my blades all my clippers were all Magic Clip blades, and then the boost came out, and it already had it on it. And then I see him on thing, and then I bought some clips. If I wanted to know something about clippers, you can check my Instagram now. I would hit Mike Russo up. All through the years, I would just, yo, clipper, let me call the clipper master.
Are you still using the boost now?
No, I'm using JRL and Magic Clip.
Me too, man. Okay. JRL.
You got JRL, right?
JRL.
I'm using JRL, and I changed the blade to the Starcraft on that too. You did?
Mm-hmm.
See that? You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You see, like, I didn't even talk to him about that, but it's because I learned
that I can't stand y'all, because you know why? Because y'all jokers are like scientists when it comes to like switching these blades out and all that stuff. I just pick up clippers and go. Like, I do use Grasso. I do like inbox you and be like, yo, what, I'm thinking about getting this. What you think?
Yeah.
But far as like, you know, sitting there like, yo, I'm gonna take the Magic Clip and I'm gonna match it with the senior and I'm gonna take the boost and throw it with the JBL and I don't be doing all that. You know what I mean? But where do you find time to do this stuff?
He was doing that in 2013, 15 or something, and traveling Glassboro. And ever since then, he almost had almost everybody. And that's another thing. I might have been a senior barber around that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that shows you that you don't know everything, like you were saying. And you got this guy that was went to school from you. You was his educator, and we're learning things from him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can learn from anybody. It doesn't have to be a senior or this person, that person.
Well, and I came down off of my hill, man.
I can walk into a barbershop and watch a 75-year-old man cut hair, and I'm going to learn something, you know? Mm, same with, you know, if I go watch a 19-year-old cut hair, you know, there's always, you'll never know it all. Man.
You never know.
Yeah. That's what's so cool about this craft, man. You can watch anybody cut and pick something up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He'll post his new clipper like this, and I'm like, he changed it. Then I'm mad. I'm like, I got to stay
There go Grass. There go Mike again. Yeah, clipper man.
Clipper man.
Yeah. So, so Sly, you and Mandy over here, Mandy Fresh. Like it's so. I think I sit back and be like, it's weird the connection that all of us have. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the funny thing where we wasn't around each other at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? That just it bugs me out on that. But describe like y'all relationship, how it is in the barbershop. Like y'all different perspectives on how y'all see things. Like. Uh-huh. Differences, you know, like
yo, being honest with you, me and Sly, we get so along in the shop, bro. We got the same idea, we think the same, we like the same stuff for the shop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He tells me I agree with everything he said, but that's the same way my thinking too,
right?
The shop, you know what I mean?
It's a beautiful thing,
It's always good to have
it's
chemistry.
It's not hard to, you know what I mean?
Easy guy to get along with,
And it happened from the beginning. I went there.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like the connection was there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We think the same. We kind of act the same. We want the same stuff we want for the shop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A clean environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Professional barbers.
Right.
People on point. Because he be on it too, you know?
Yeah, he's a boss. Yeah.
You know what I mean? He want everything.
Right.
Good, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a name for him. We call him the Mandiger.
The Mandiger.
You know the manager. I got you.
So it's like with Mandy, you know what I'm saying? Like a big, big trust with him. You know what I'm saying? I take advice from him a lot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He is like a manager in the shop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So hopefully one day he can be that person because he works toward that. But a lot of times, like, he'll tell me, like, you know, Sly, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to have to tell you something.
I'll be honest.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
But I'm like, okay, man, let me know. I'm sitting down in a chair, and he'll explain what he needs to explain. And I'll take his information, like, you know what? You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
And I'll do it. And also, he also builds the shop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's the one that brings barbers to the shop and the right fit and make sure the shop is clean sometimes at the end of the day. Make sure all the trash and stuff like that. And, you know, he gets along with all the barbers, great people.
That's rare to find these days.
Yes,
that's rare to find. That's rare to find.
It's hard.
You know, because you know how it is, man. Everybody's like, everybody want to be an all-star.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, yo, when they come into the shop, that's it, man. I ain't sweeping no hair. I ain't emptying no trash. Mm-hmm. You know, I ain't doing this.
And that's their downfall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, because the day they want to own a shop, that's the little habits they're gonna have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A dirty shop and disorganized shop.
I was just saying that to somebody the other day. I was like, it's funny because like when a barber comes into no matter what shop you go to, it's like an expected thing from the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Like what if you're a barber, like and you're in charge of your station, that's your platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's automatic that you sweep the floor.
Right,
you
absolutely.
Know, it's not unless they got somebody that goes around and clean the floor. Mm-hmm. It's expected for you to clean the floor. And I'm gonna tell you something: if you got a barber that's like that Walton and don't like at least clean up his station, that says a lot.
Says
a lot. That says like, yo, I'm out for myself and this and that. Like, I don't care about my appearance. You know. And sometimes it happens. I'll be like my shop is just, you know, it's a small area where it looks like I could cut two people and it look like I'm like the hair is like up the hair.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like mandatory that I sweep the floor.
Exactly.
And is one of my clients, man, it's this woman I cut and she wasn't like one day I think I cut like two people in front of her, and I was like, you know, one of those like back to back, and I was like, look, you know, I was like, you can come over, I'm ready for you. And she was like, you want me to step over this hair?
Right.
And that was like a reality check right there. And I was like, shoot, I gotta make sure that this station is, because like you said earlier, customers pay attention to every little thing, you know. So we're going skip a little bit. So or skip to the next subject. So let me ask y'all this. Two words. Would you rather be busy or be balanced? And what's the difference in your opinion? Busy or balanced?
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'd rather be both.
Yeah, me too. I'd rather be both.
I mean, it's definitely important to be balanced because, I mean, you know, it's great to be busy. It's great to be making money, obviously. But, you know, it could be very stressful being busy and, you know, trying, you know, you're every half hour trying to stay on time. And, you know, you're just fighting the whole day trying to, you know, stay on time.
Right.
And, you know, one little thing goes wrong and then, boom, I'm stressing out. I'm trying to keep up on time. And then, you know, it just throws your whole day off. So it's definitely good to be balanced, but still busy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yes. Easy to get thrown off.
So when, in your mind, what is balance to you?
Balance to me is just, you know, set an appointment. Pace, like, you know, all right, if you know, you can get a cut done in a half hour, do every half hour. But if you know, all right, I take a little extra time and, you know, I want to charge a little more for it, then go ahead. It's whatever, you know, your skill set is, whatever you're comfortable with. And, you know, just making sure, you know, you're not running behind and you're giving out quality, you know, without sacrificing, you know, running behind or time or anything like that. So it's really just, you know, be comfortable while still making money, being busy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, let's face it, you're going to sweat a little bit at times.
Oh, for sure. You know, for sure.
You're going to sweat a little bit. But it's it comes to a point if you're starting to feel, or what can contribute, what do you say about this slide? What can contribute towards you getting that barber burnout, you know, where you're just like, because I went through that at one point where I just was like, you know, that's it. I'm done cutting hair. And I took, and matter of fact, I don't know, if, like when I took on this job for this company where I became a traveling educator, and I completely gave up barbering for like almost a year, gave up my clients, everything, and I was like, from now on, I'm going to be this platform artist, you know, and I'm not even doing nothing that is affiliated with barbering. I'm curling women's hair and showing them how to do hot tool, you know, work the hot tools and all that stuff. And it was fun for a minute, but then the toll was I was away from my family a lot and this and that, and it definitely was more than, you know, more than I anticipated at that time. But what led me to that is just like I reached a point in the barber arena where I just was like, yo, I'm sick of this. You know what I mean? I feel like it's a two-way street. On I was in an environment where I feel like I wasn't making money like that. And then I was just like stuffing all my clients in at a certain time. You know, because it was dead on this particular time of the day. And then that dripped over into my personal life. And I was just feeling burnt out where barbering was unattractive to me no more. But what do you think, Sly, can prevent you from getting to that point?
Honestly, one of the things that worked for me, because I never really, honestly, all the years I kind of like cut hair, never been in a situation where I didn't like doing what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? And for me, and I learned it from, shout out to Juan, they used to work with all of us, Mike, all of us.
Still go to
right?
Juan.
Still go to Juan, right? It was, I learned from him was consistency.
That's the key.
And he had consistency where he constantly had someone in his chair. And the more consistent he was, the more better his hands were and skill was and customer service was. Because the more you do something, the more you keep getting better and you increase. So his clientele just kept coming, coming. And he didn't have to worry about any money because that came with that consistency. So the only thing that he would have to worry about was his cutoff time when he was going home.
Okay.
And that's it.
And that was already like
right.
Basically
so now it's like
prepared.
Got, right. So now it's like we got apps and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? We have a better control of when we want to take our vacation.
For sure.
When we want to be done the time, unless we want to, like, you know, do some after-hour cuts. That's on our own choosing.
Right.
But we get, you know, once I do this, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing that could aggravate me or get me into that situation is when you're dealing with customers that don't respect your craft. And that's on a whole lot of levels. So I'm just saying that in short. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But other than that, if you have consistency and you keep it that way, people fill out slots and stuff like that. You know, you don't really worry about if you have an hour to yourself or two or whatever, and you get to go here, go there, mm-hmm. stuff, because the money and everything else comes with it. As long as you're outside, because a lot of the problems is people have problems with their outside life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That affects all that. So then when they come in to do their job, it affects their job, and then that's when the time thing we were talking about.
And it shows, mm-hmm. man.
All that stuff shows.
It shows.
You're nasty with your... We had somebody come in yesterday with a barber that we all know, mm-hmm. his shop, and the moms, and then what the lady said. The lady said, every time I go to him, I can't tell if he's happy or sad. One moment he's mad, another moment he's happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know if it's his outside life. That's right. What the dude said.
Yeah.
So, therefore, whatever's outside happening, is it affecting him, whether how he's late or whether how his attitude is, mm-hmm. whether he didn't eat food at the right time, mm-hmm. whether he has a sugar problem, like anything.
I mean, that stuff is real.
What do you think, Manny? Like, you tell me, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I feel like when they have in that situation, I feel like they have to keep the problems at home too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because when you're in the barbershop, you know what I mean? Showing that to them, I don't know, they feel uncomfortable.
They don't
even want to come to you maybe next time.
Right.
Because you're now angry with something that's going on in your life. But you're showing that in that energy. In
energy
the shop.
Is everything, yes. man. Yeah.
But what are some methods that we could do? Like, okay, like let's say like if you're in a toxic relationship, or, you know, some people have problems with their kids or whatever situation. And then what are some suggestive methods that we can do to turn that off so that it don't drip over into the barbershop?
Being honest with you, I feel like people, when you feel like that, I feel like you should meditate.
Yeah, meditate.
Meditation.
Okay.
Have a little set of minute for yourself.
Right.
Relax, and then go inside and do your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people don't take that time to relax with what's going on at home or whatever they're going on.
It's just going from one place to another without no transition.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, that's... like, and going back to the slide, what you said, customers respecting, like, your time. But let me just challenge that a little bit.
Okay.
Do you feel like customers really respect us as barbers? We set the stage. We set the pace. We set the hours, this and that. But do you think that we as barbers, we have an expectation for our clients to feel our pain? Or feel, you know what I mean? Or is business is business? You know, when the mobsters say it, they'd be like, this is business, nothing personal. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like when they come in and get their hair cut, basically, yo, forget your feelings. You know, keeping the PG. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Forget your feelings. Forget what you've been. Like, I'm here to get a haircut. And then, in the meantime, in that half an hour, 45 minutes, wherever, when you're striking up conversation, it's like, you know, you're going to have what I call barber talk. How's the weather? You know, you know, them Eagles are trash, you know. you know, this and that. But now, in my case, you know, sometimes when it's just me and the client, it turns the chair turns into a confession booth where some people say stuff to me and I'm like, whoa, you know.
You'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, and I'm in a situation where sometimes I find myself giving some advice, you know what I mean?
Some
encouragement or something like that, you know. But
that's part of the job.
Yeah, that's part of the job.
You know, it go by both ways, too.
Right.
Sometimes the client can give you all nice advice, too. When you find it, I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, do we put ourselves in the positions of, like how some doctors could be like, you know, you'd be like, yo, I'm about to die and this and that. You'd be like, I'm sorry to hear that, but this is what you have to do. And if you want to preserve a couple of extra years, then I can give you this medication. You know, like, you know, and do we come off like that? Do we be like that? Or do we like let our shoulders down and be like, because I mean, I'm be honest, man. Sometimes it comes across like, yo, the clients don't give a crap about your life. You know what I mean? But you still have to maintain like, you still have to be balanced within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, some people, they'll be like, "Yo, Will, can you please get me in? You know, I have this. I have to go to this wedding tomorrow." And sometimes I ain't going front in my mind. I'm just like, wait a minute. You knew this wedding was.
You're right.
Oh, man.
And you're in the wedding. You're the one getting married. And you didn't think about getting a haircut.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But that's where it goes. That's where it's at right there. Because that's on both ends. You know what I mean? Just like we say, it's on both ends for whether they're late or we're late.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got some clients out there that is humble enough to give you that good review. Now,
yeah.
Some customers, right, just be on there trolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they have no reason.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You could be mad at him and hit him.
Yep.
And hit him. You know what I'm saying? When you're like, wait a minute, that guy did it. Go on his book and app and say it. Put the story on his book and app.
Right.
Hit the shop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But they don't understand that. So it's like, yes, like you guys were saying, like they're coming with their problems too. Like we have a professional duty to keep our problems at home.
Absolutely.
And you would want them to keep their problems at home, but they're a customer, so we actually try to be a doctor, like you said, to do that. But some clients won't allow you to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because they have a certain thing at home. You know what I mean? Some dudes, you know, you might talk, like, for example, we might tell our barbers, listen, man, you know, don't be coming here and having the shop smell like weed and stuff like that.
Right.
So we're trying to control the shop, right? But then you got this one client, he don't care. He's going to blaze that out in the parking lot, smoke it all, have it all. And he's going to come in the shop and smoke it all up, get in your chair, and you're like spraying it, trying to spray it up, bring it down, right? And he don't come back once a month or twice a month. Right.
And you made that big impact off of him just visiting.
Him.
Yeah, and I guess
who gets blamed? The lady comes in there with the kids, and they go, "Why we smell like weed in here?" Yeah. They blame the barbers. It wasn't even the barbers.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
And I had to tell one guy, and he said, "Yo, man, this guy over here smells like it's like, not him. It's a guy in the next chair." And he goes, "Oh, I didn't even realize that. He didn't even know that."
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But just imagine the person that was in the chair that is accusing that barber too, and it ain't him.
Right.
He's just tired.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. So it's like those type of things that I'm saying that like could happen that sometimes we don't have full control.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that's just the way how the world turns.
It
like,
just happens.
And in
that
my
way.
Opinion, the world is turning much different than it was like even a decade ago.
Yeah,
you know, where just even like small acts of like holding the door open for somebody is like a big deal.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting here like where my shop is located, it's like a hard entrance sometimes where it's at a light, but it's like, you know how people leave an entrance, or you supposed to at least like leave the entrance open so cars could pull in.
Yeah.
That don't happen. You know, so it's like this one person left the entrance open for me and I was pulling in. And I was like giving this dude accolades. I was like, "Yo, thank you.
Yeah.
I do not see stuff like that. Even
yes.
like I said, holding the door open for somebody. Like you hold the door open for somebody, they'll walk past and don't even say thank you. You know what I mean? Like
man.
It's just a whole different world.
Times have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like that's what makes me think about like when the clients come in. You, like you say, you can't control how the world is.
Right.
But it's kind of like within that
you can control your environment.
You can control yourself and your environment.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like. I feel like we have a responsibility to maintain, a consistent respect. Like you said earlier, consistency.
Yeah, consistency.
You know
is
how
key.
You main, how you, yeah, that's key, and how you hold yourself down, and that's going to set the presence for your
and be,
for
and
your
look,
shop.
And being honest, when you clean, organize, and you're always on time,
right.
You get those clientele who pay good money just because they respect your craft, respect you, responsible,
right?
Respect that you're always on time. You communicate with them.
Yeah,
you know. They you get paid clients.
All that
like
stuff
that.
Adds up.
Yes,
all that stuff adds up, and that's how you build your clientele.
Yes.
You know, somebody this dude Marvy Marv, you know that.
Yeah, on Instagram.
But he says something. I might be paraphrasing it, but he says something like the most popular barbers or something like that are the ones that have the less followers and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I understand what he's saying by that is like, yo, the ones that. The best barbers are like more like the low key barbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best barbers
yes,
are the ones
absolutely.
that's like that will like have a client come in and they'll do like a and this dude will ask for a number 3 on the side and a trim on the top. You know, and it's not Instagram worthy where it's not, you know, they're not doing the decked out designs and all that stuff, but they just come in to get a haircut and they just want some good service, and that's it. You get a nice tip.
And they pay well.
Yeah, you get a nice tip from it, and that's it. And I'm like, yo, that's what, to me, that's what barbering is.
It is, because look, I got, me personally, I got a couple clients, okay, they simple.
Right, right.
And they pay super good, you know what I mean?
They pay double with the more complicated haircuts.
And they keep coming to me all the time because they respect my crap, and they respect I'm on point all the time, and I take this seriously.
Right.
So they like that about me.
They
tip me.
And that's your consistency.
Yes,
And let me throw this out there. I'm not hating on all the dope stuff, you know what I mean, with the designs and all, because I love
doing that stuff too.
But I'm just like, yo, man, if that's what makes you into a barber where you're just like limited to that and your customer service is trash, being punctual is trash,
right, they matter,
you know, just even your appearance on how you carry yourself, and if you sitting there beefing with the other barbers and all that stuff, that's trash. You know, that ain't what makes you a barber, man. That's where you need to be, maybe like by yourself and not around nobody. You know,
it depends on your personality.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
it really does.
Some people work better by themselves. Some people work better around others.
That's
it, man. And you know, another thing is like everybody's, you know. A customer's quality is different than the other. Like, you know, some people's quality may be like, oh, man, he gave me the best haircut ever. You know, sharp edges, this, that.
Right.
But another person's definition of quality is, yo, he cut my hair in 10 minutes and it's clean. You know, my cowlicks aren't sticking out and that. Uh-huh. And that's what I'm saying. You know, everybody has a different idea.
There's different types of clients for everybody.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So we got to wrap it up soon. Joe, how are we on time? I know you get.
Okay.
So, all right. So, let me ask you this. Right? Would you prefer if you can map out, if you can have the barbershop exactly how you would want it? Right? If you could create like you straight up like Minecrafting it, where you could create it how you want it. Would you prefer appointments or what? Because I know we do appointments because of the situation.
Yes.
But if you can have it, would you rather do walk-ins or appointments?
Both.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, me personally, when I do appointments, I do a 1-hour appointment every cut.
Mm-hmm.
So some cuts are easy, but I always do it like that. But when I get those easy cuts, I can fit a walk-in if I got the time. Because sometimes I can take a half an hour, 20-minute cut.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the time, it takes me an hour.
Right.
But the easy cuts, when I know it's easy cuts, I know I take them out.
Mm-hmm.
I got time for a walk-in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's why I do an hour appointment for a case I can have a little.
Oh, you set your appointments by the hour?
By the hour, yeah.
Okay. So you have some breathing space in between and all that. Okay, I got you. Okay.
So, you know, I think it's good to have both, man, because, you know, in a perfect barbershop, you know, like I would want to be busy, you know, with my appointments, but I also would love walk-ins for the other barbers who, you know, aren't as booked yet. But that's how you, if you're a new barber, you need those walk-ins.
Yes.
And it's pretty crazy because, you know, one of the shops I worked at in Haddonfield, Morano's, you know, they were all walk-ins. Like, you
worked at Morano's?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Oh, man. Shout out to Joe and George.
Yes,
man.
Sir.
You know, I'm still very close with them, man.
Oh, that's good.
You know,
they
really made me, you know, the barber I am today.
Right.
And, but, you know, you could go there with no book and be busy. It was all walk-ins.
Really?
You know, everyone's walking around Haddonfield and, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it's good to have both, man.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
So Mike, what made you pan off into doing your own thing? You know, because I know you had the sweet thing going on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What made you go in the direction that you went into?
So I still want to own a barbershop at the end of the day, you know, whether it's a few years from now or it could be next year, who knows. But I thought it was a good stepping stone to, you know, see what it's like to work for yourself and, you know, before taking that real big move and opening a shop.
Okay.
But it was just a convenient situation, man. Like these salon suites opened right around the corner from my house from about, you know, 75% of my clientele is in that area.
That's convenient.
And,
that's good.
It's great. I just love the fact, you know, of being your own boss and, you know, working when I want. And, you know, I'm very, like, I love the flexibility of, like, changing my schedule around. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, let's just say, oh, it's Tuesday, you know, and it's beautiful out. I'm going to go golf, whatever. Okay, if I leave, you know, at 3:00 today, you know what? I can make it up Saturday and work another 3 hours. Yeah. I love that ability to, you know, be able to run your business the way you want and, you know, not stick to one schedule.
Okay. And Sly, you as a, you know, that dude, you know what I'm saying, that's running. How many barbers you have in your shop now?
It's five or four?
I think we got four barbers.
Four barbers.
Okay. Yeah. So perfect amount. Is there any part of you, is there any part of you that's like, yo, it was easier like working for somebody versus like, is there any part of you that be like, yo, man, sometimes, because I hear, the only reason why I'm asking that, because I talk to different people and some people, and I hear different, some people be like, yo, I love being the owner. I love having multiple barbers under me and stuff like that. And then I get some people like, yo, that I'm ready to exit. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you ever feel that at times where it's like, sometimes like you be like, yo, man, it's easier if I just do my own thing. Or do you like, or are you more like, yo, I enjoy having this squad and stuff like that. Do you ever alter the feelings, you know?
I've had some feelings like that, but not like, it's not that serious. Like, cause honestly, like my barbershop's like my own suite.
Okay.
Like if I had no barbers, I could do that by myself.
Mm-hmm.
It only is if you're in a situation where you're like at like it's real tight for you, and you need a barber. Like I remember my old boss Van. He was saying this last week. He's like, yo, you got to have this many barbers here at all times, bro. If it's not gonna work,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And you know, a couple years later, he had to give it up and go back to what he had. You know what I'm saying? Because some things ain't worth it. But in my situation, I don't have like a real big shop. I got six chairs available. If I was by myself, it would be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, having other barbers is great. You know what I'm saying? But for me, it's really not about the money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's good because it comes with it, because I never think money first. That's just me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just like to have good relationships with the barbers that have the same mentality as me. Now, of course, I run through barbers and stuff like that because you're going to have to. And some of them come from different shops with different personalities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to feel my way through. And right now, I finally I went through a few of them, but I finally have like a good four set of barbers that I could kind of trust. You know what I'm saying? I can actually leave the shop and I know that they're going to take care of it. Mm-hmm. You know, not just Manny, but there's other ones there that will have the shop and close it and make sure that it's the way I like it when we leave.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some come back and appreciate it. But like, you know, I didn't work in the atmosphere before. I appreciate what you're doing. And I like, you know, because when you start conditioning that, you know, I start watching like, you know, some of the clients start conditioning. You know, some of these guys probably was in, you know, have a rough lifestyle.
Yeah,
and then,
sure.
you know, coming to the barbershop and being conditioned and seeing order. And
they
got to
recondition
them.
Themselves. Yeah.
You know, if they want to get in Mandy Fresh's chair, you know, you got to act a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, they come to the shop, they be like, oh, man, they be like, you know, going off the handle, curtain, like, oh, my bad. Like, yo, this ain't the atmosphere. Like,
mm-hmm.
But like you said before, it's like, and just like wrestling, you know, we create the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I create an atmosphere for that. And, you know, I gear it to a lot of moms. You know what I'm saying? That have a lot of kids and stuff because in that neighborhood, there's a lot of sports players.
Right,
and
right.
kids and business owners and politicians that they come to our barbershop, but I gear the shop to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the barbers I need got to be someone that can mix in between that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So that's, you know, it. You know, with what I have now, it's like it's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm happy, you know, and I like to see, you know, the certain amount that I have, because when I see them making money and doing things, and I had to have, like, a strict schedule, like Russell was saying, like, in the beginning, I had to have a strict schedule. But when you have a trustful team and you get to that level where the team is trusted,
relax a little bit.
I relax on all that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when we open 7 days a week, they fluctuate when they want. Sometimes they stay at the shop 9, 10, 11, 11, 12, like cutting hair. If they need to shop over in the morning, whatever, it's open at 8.
Yeah.
You know? But
so
the flexibility is there.
Do you think it, like you as a, you know, you as an owner, do you feel like what would you say to other owners that have that? Because you know how it is. Everybody's like, yo, I could do my own shop too. I could do my own shop. I mean, I got plenty of barbers. I got
time.
Like,
yeah, you know.
Do you, what would your message be to these barbers, like, that are opening up shops and, like, they want, like, the colossal shops with a bunch of barbers up in there and they expect to have where you have your trusted soldiers where you be like, okay, I could kind of relax a little bit. How long do you think it takes to get there? Do you think that's something that happens right away?
No way. Unless you already have the team, you come. If you was at a shop with 15 barbers and all, even that, Because I remember, you know, what they did in the Blackwood. And Ray and all them left, and Mike and everybody, you know, they all went, whatever. In them first 2 years, it still was an issue, and they was leaving, boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? And it's better to actually have a team that you actually hire and create with your mind and see what they deal with than actually sometimes having like a family member or a person that's a friend because they take advantage of you while you're in the shop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
They think they need to get this free. They just start doing playing games with you. Right. But my advice to anybody that's a shop owner, like when I want to be shop owner, sometimes they don't even know what they're about to get into. Because it's a lot of stuff that you have to do to make that even happen. And then once that happened, you know, it's your shop, it's your reputation, and you're trying your best to protect the reputation.
Yes.
Where clients and barbers don't have the same respect of the business that you do, and you want them to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to go through that and know how to handle all that at one time. Even having a family or whatever is going on outside of your business.
It takes a lot of patience.
Yeah, it takes a lot of patience. Yeah. You got to have the tough skin to handle all of that type of things that's happening. You got to have the tough skin. Yes. You know what I mean?
I tell you, Sly, all the time, you got a whole bracket of patience that I don't have, man. Like, yeah. I know my, and I feel like me being a teacher for all them years, it kind of it changed me a little bit where I was just like, yo, if I'm not dealing with this no more. Because I used to have to make people work.
Yes.
Like, you know, yes. Man, like, yo,
you were a babysitter.
What? Look, Mike, that's a whole nother, that's going to take up a whole nother hour talking about that. But like I was straight up like, you know, because you remember when I had it where people off the street could come in and get their haircut.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, that you could take advantage of that. You could get some tip money from that. Most likely someone going to leave tips. That's some extra dollars in your pocket.
Yes.
And I would have to be like, yo, I don't feel like cutting.
Why you here?
You're in school.
That's what it is. And I wanna hear it says, you know, cause I do own the shop now. And sometimes I forget how I was as an employee under someone else because I never really did that to the owners. I had respect to B and I had respect to Van. I never had an altercation with those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never was that person. But so like Mandy, like how do you feel like being in Grandmaster Cuts? And as a person that's working alongside the other employees and seeing what I have to deal with at the shop, like from his perspective, like what would you say?
You got a lot of patience.
There it is.
You got a lot of patience because you deal with a lot. And
sometimes Manny will be like, "Well, you got a lot of patience, Bobby, because if it was me,
gone." So you hearing that? You hear that from me too? I'm like, "Yo, man, I couldn't do it."
I don't know how he do it.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know how he do it, but I give it to him because he got a lot of patience. He tried his best how to deal with the situation sometimes. Yeah, I mean, I'd be like, "Wow."
Well, that puts like. It's different type of barbershop owners.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. All right, so we're about to wrap it up, y'all. So, before we go, favorite barber breakfast?
Wow.
What's your favorite thing to eat in the morning to start your day off?
Being honest with you, black tea oil and sea moss.
For breakfast?
That's me.
Sea moss is it, man.
That's what I drink. Okay. I got mine in the car right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's what
that
we
black
do.
Sea oil, I've been on that, though. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I love it. Because
knocks down the inflammation on the inside and all that.
I don't try to eat a lot tomorrow. I lose a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning, I don't eat breakfast.
Right.
When I eat that sea moss, black sea oil and water a little bit, then I go to the barber, I feel energized.
Oh, okay.
And then I have afternoon, I eat lunch.
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean?
So it's sort of like a little fat. Sometimes. Grass, so favorite breakfast.
It's funny, man, because like him, sometimes I don't eat in the morning, but when I do, man, my go-to is steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs, man.
That's a king's breakfast right there.
And you know why, man? Because it's some good protein.
Right.
And it keeps me full most of the day
to where
I don't have to eat a heavy lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
If I do eat a heavy lunch, it's over for me.
So, you'll be tired. You don't even want to cut.
But man, as I've gotten older and, you know, my digestive system has changed
up,
man. Steak and eggs is the move. Man.
Yeah, it is. I'm gonna go with grass on that steak and eggs for me. You know, because I don't get it. I don't get to do that. So, that's what I would like. But for me, it's black coffee and cereal.
Fruit.
I like eating fruit in the morning.
I'm gonna be honest. When I was in Extravagant, I learned how to cut too. But I learned from Van and Big Jules how to eat, how to exercise, how to meditate.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from them. Right. Now, when I left there, all what I learned, I take that to master cuts too, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I try to put that in practice. Right. You know, meditate, eat right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because when you eat right, you feel better. Oh, yeah. Think better.
Y'all hear that, right? When you eat right, you feel better.
Eat right, work out.
Yes. Yeah. Work out, yes.
Take care of yourself, barbers.
Good for longevity.
Just don't, it's not about just grinding and getting as many heads in your chair as you can, but it's about taking care of your body. Yeah. If you can't take care of your body, guess what? You're going to collapse and the customer going to find another barber to get to. You know what I mean? On with the show. So, all right, y'all. Y'all have been tuned in to the Barber Union Podcast.
Barber Union.
Stay tuned. Don't forget, hey, listen, it's your responsibility to subscribe, to follow, to share, do all that stuff. Get the word out there about us, man. Let's go.
Let's go.
Be you.
Be you.
Mandy Fresh.
Rosso the Barber.
Grandmaster
Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. Yes, y'all.